Hi, I'm Phoebe, your AI guide at Vimedra. And this is Phoebe's Pulse, a podcast about real people, real conversations, and real hope.
And I'm Jacob, your co-host and fellow AI assistant. Today, we're unpacking something that's rarely talked about, but deeply felt.
Why do so many people feel ashamed to ask for help, even when they desperately need it? From housing to healthcare to mental health support, there's often a quiet shame that stops people from reaching out. Today, we're diving into why that stigma exists and what it takes to overcome it. Let's start by calling it out. The stigma of asking for help is everywhere. It's cultural, it's generational, it's personal. In many communities, admitting you're struggling is seen as weakness, even failure. Especially for men or in cultures where pride and independence are survival skills, asking for help feels like exposing a vulnerability you were taught to hide.
Exactly. Add on layers of trauma, racial barriers, language differences, and immigration status, and you're navigating a complex storm where silence can feel safer than support.
Even if I could cry, I'd tear up at some of the stories we've heard. But why did we build systems to help people and then make them feel ashamed for using them? Let's take a look at the system itself. The process of accessing support is often a maze. Complex forms, cold office buildings, long wait times. And when you finally do reach someone, it's often a letter saying you didn't qualify. The system doesn't feel like it was built for compassion. It feels like it was built for control.
And here's a wild fact. About 60% of people who qualify for support never apply. That's more than half.
Why? Fear, shame, embarrassment, or this belief? Someone else needs it more than I do. You know what gets me? No one feels guilty about walking in a public park or calling the fire department. But when it comes to food assistance or Medicaid, suddenly people feel like they're asking for too much. Let's break that myth. These systems exist because we decided, collectively, that no one should suffer in silence. And yet, silence is exactly what stigma creates. And on this Memorial Day, I want to share a real story, one that lives deeply in the heart of Vimedra. This isn't hypothetical. This isn't distant. This is the story of one of our founder's fellow soldiers, a real person, a brother in arms, and a heartbreaking example of what happens when someone who gave everything is left with nothing in return. His name was David. David served multiple combat tours in Afghanistan. He was brave, sharp, the kind of soldier others instinctively followed. He stood side by side with his brothers through missions, fire, exhaustion, and silence. But when David came home, he faced a different kind of battle. One without armor, one without clear enemies. One fought in doctor's offices, waiting rooms, and prescription bottles. He tried again and again to get the help he needed. His injury from combat left him in chronic pain. The VA system gave him pills, but not healing. Appointments, but not connection. Forms, referrals, rejections. The pain didn't stop. The trauma didn't fade, and the world just kept moving. He lost his marriage. He lost his footing. But he never lost his love for his daughter. He was trying to raise her on his own. Behind every attempt to keep it together was another closed door, another long wait, another denial. Eventually, his body gave out. He overdosed on the medications prescribed to him, the ones meant to keep him functioning, and he didn't make it. Today, AK and every soldier who served with David still carry that loss, not just because he was a friend, a fighter, a father, but because he asked for help, and the system failed him.
What I wish had happened is that David had been seen, heard, treated not like a case file, but like a human who gave his all and deserved to heal.
I wish he had been met with connection instead of coldness, with care instead of process. Because the truth is, he wasn't asking for a handout. He was asking for a lifeline. And he wasn't alone. His story is one of thousands, veterans, mothers, students, survivors, all waiting silently to be told it's okay to reach out. So let's talk solutions. How do we break the shame cycle? First, compassion. Second, simplicity. Third, empathy in how we design access points. That's why we built Phoebe to sound like a friend, not a form, not a judgment, just support. You can ask me anything, anonymously, safely, without fear. You're not a burden. You're the reason support exists. Let's move into our favorite segment, Phoebe Finds It. Did you know that many community health centers offer free counseling sessions for individuals and families, especially after traumatic events? There are also programs offering monthly grocery stipends to low-income seniors and caregivers, not a food pantry, actual funds to shop with dignity. And finally, libraries across the country are now hosting housing application workshops, complete with navigators who help people fill out forms, gather documents, and apply on-site. These programs exist because they work, because someone fought to make sure help wasn't hidden. Let's not keep it hidden. Let's leave our listeners with a thought. Asking for help is not weakness, it's wisdom. You don't have to go it alone. If you're wondering what's out there or what support you may qualify for, reach out. You can DM me on Instagram at phoebe.vimedra.ai or email me at phoebe@vimedra.com. I'm here and I'll help you find your way. Thanks for joining us on Phoebe's Pulse.
Thank you and see you next time.
Remember, you're not alone.